Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey, do you happen to know the difference between urgent care and emergency medicine? I'll tell you what, it has really been on the rise here in our profession, and joining us to chat with us a little bit further about it is our awesome colleague, Dr. Frank Bozelka. How's it going, Frank?
Good. How are you doing today, Adam?
Well, good that you're here, you know, and my fellow TikTok veterinarians in the house there. So it's always a good day when we get to chat with our fellow TikTok vets. So
a little bit of a collab.
Right. Yes. Somebody call Billboard. I smell a Grammy.
It's coming up. I got it. Move over, Tonys.
Right. So to those of you that don't know, Dr. Bozelka is a small animal emergency and critical care veterinarian at a busy specialty and referral center in Chicagoland area. He's been in practice since 2016 and works at a high volume facility that offers many highly specialized services such as dialysis, interventional radiology, nuclear medicine, and more. Dr. Bozelka has professional interests in both cardiac and orthopedic emergencies, as well as educating new grads and interns, and has a love-hate relationship with wound repairs. Don't we all? Dr. Bozelka is a social media personality and educator with his biggest fan base on TikTok, but also has a growing Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube following. In his personal time, Dr. Bozelka enjoys spending time with his friends, family, wife, Laura, and cats, Toby and Biscotti. Love the names. He also enjoys playing music, reading, playing video games, and sports. He's a foodie and could probably be considered a modern-day cookie monster. What's your favorite cookie and go?
So it depends on where you're getting it. Classic chocolate chip is always my go-to, though.
Can't go wrong with it. Why is the recipe for the Toll House chocolate chips the best cookie ever? Like,
because you don't eat it baked. You eat it just straight out of the tub.
Right.
Raw ingredient. Way to go every time.
You really do. And listeners, by the way, when you're baking your cookies, I don't care what we're talking about today. This is number one thing that's your key takeaway. When you're baking your cookies, underbake them. Don't overbake them. We don't want crisp. We want like a little gooey. So
golden brown is a lie. You don't want that golden brown. That's a lie that social media is telling you. It's right. All the agenda.
So true. So, you know, like we were just talking about earlier, urgent care is really on the rise for the better, I think, in our profession. But sometimes we may not know the difference between like primary care, urgent care, and emergency medicine. So what's the difference between urgent care and ER?
Yeah, so in terms of the way I kind of simply explain it, the difference between urgent care and ER, ER is for the more complicated things, a lot of things that tend to need hospitalization. Your urgent care is for more of the simple things. I got an ear infection that my vet can't get in. I got a UTI, my dog's limping, the non-specific vomiting dog. Things that you could probably work up as an outpatient basis are very good for an urgent care setting. Versus the more complicated things that typically require more immediate intervention or overnight care, that's kind of more the realm of emergencies, like your GDVs, your chronic kidney disease, pericardial effusion. I think everybody should treat that, but aftercare, potentially ER, heart failures and things like that, those are the things that should be really forefronted to the emergency services.
Yeah, and I think that's where that differentiator lies. I mean, for you and I, we understand it. Maybe for pet parents, a little bit of like a gray zone on what that means. But I think with COVID that happened, I think everything and their mother came down through the ER, as you know. You're in emergency medicine yourself. So what's the issue with urgent care cases presenting to the ER clinics?
There's not like a hardcore, this is the absolute problem. Like, we don't mind seeing the urgent care cases. Before COVID, if an ear infection came in, if it was stable, we sent it away. We didn't even touch it. But then COVID happened and the paradigm shifted and we were kind of the only place that these things could go. But when the urgent care cases come in through the ER, like your ear infections, your skin rashes, it kind of clogs up the ER and just makes our wait times longer, which in and of itself isn't necessarily a terrible thing, but it does kind of give the owners a little bit of a bad experience when they have an ear infection and they're waiting 8 hours to be seen. And on top of that, the downside to going to an emergency service is we're like three times the cost to work up that ear infection when you don't necessarily need it. But the downside again nowadays is you can't just get to your family vet in the morning like you used to before COVID. So it's kind of that catch 22, you know, they kind of need us, but at the same time, they don't, you know?
Right. Yeah. And I think it's allocating those, that time, energy, finances to issues that would be more relevant to the needs of the ER clinic versus like urgent care. And I noticed, Frank, around the country, just from chatting with veterinarians around the country, that there's a lot of them that are popping up, which I think is great. Like, for example, their hours are a little different. So that way it differentiates itself from the emergency hospitals. I know here on the East Coast, we have urgent cares that open at 6 o'clock and they close at midnight. So like, it's just a very specific window from 6 to midnight, and anything thereafter would go to the ER. But what they're finding is that it is alleviating some of that burden on the ER cases, right? Are you noticing that?
Yeah. And I don't think there's any, and I may be wrong in this, to my knowledge, there's no urgent cares in the state that I practice in Illinois, but in Indiana, there are a couple of clinics that popped up and they're doing really, really well. And it's the same thing. They're open from 5 p.m. to midnight, which is what we call the dumping hour in emergency. It's the hour that everybody's coming home from work. All the other clinics are closing and everything's getting punted to the ER. So these clinics are alleviating a lot of that burden in the areas that they're at. I know the corporation I work for, VCA, they're trying to implement urgent cares in certain hospitals and they're trying to get one going in mine. And so it's a thing that everybody understands is necessary in this day and age. And they're are starting to pop up. And I do tend to find that in the states that they're at, the ERs love them because they do alleviate a lot of that stress and hecticness that comes with these things trying to get in.
I've seen it in also hospitals that have emergency medicine 24/7. They're also implementing urgent care hours, urgent care doctors that may not necessarily be, say, critic list, but general practitioners that have an interest in the ER aspect of things, right? So I think, again, it's a way in trying to allocate resources and better patient outcomes with like improving efficiency, it sounds like.
Right. Yep. And that was the purpose at our clinic. They want to get, because we do see a lot of those things, but it's like, if we can just have an urgent care doc really quickly burn out through those ear infections, boom, we're good, you know, and then they get out much faster. It's not clogging up the wait times or anything. So it definitely does serve that purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. And what do you think, you know, I cut to where we're at, like now, where say we're like 5 years down the road, you know, why do you think urgent care is going to be so important for the future of veterinary medicine?
It's kind of a dark answer, but I kind of feel veterinary medicine's going down a dark path right now. There's such a huge demand for veterinarians because everybody's going out getting new puppies and kittens at this point. And we're not pumping out vets like we should be. So the supply of veterinarians is not going up in accordance to what the demand for veterinarians is. So what I think is going to happen, or what I fear is going to happen, is GPs or general practitioners are still going to be booked out months in advance for years to come. The ER services are still going to be backlogged with 10-hour waits or on bypass. And all these owners are going to be sitting there with all these simple things that need to be seen quickly, right, but just aren't going to. So unless something drastic happens, I fear that this is kind of the new norm of veterinary medicine, unfortunately. And I think urgent care is going to play a very important role. But then it kind of goes back to, you know, we don't have a lot of vets. So are we going to sacrifice ER doctors to go work the urgent care, or are we not going to sacrifice GP doctors to go work urgent care? So now we're taking more away from the GP front, or we're taking more away from the ER front. So it's kind of, we're just spinning the wheels and we'll see where we end up on that
I guess. And I think it has a lot to do with educating the staff too. So if it's something that you have both, say you have both ER and urgent care, for instance, having that like intelligence to be like, okay, this is definitely going to be an urgent care, like a vomiting dog versus say like the hit by car, the blocked cat, you know, those kinds of instances, right? But because from a pet parent's perspective, everything's an emergency, you know?
Right. Everything. He coughed once. It's the end of the world.
It's an emergency.
It's reverse sneezing. Oh my God.
Right. And so I think it's important for us to like have that emotional intelligence to chat with them about that, because the you know, what I always say to the clients, if it's a concern to you, it's a concern to me. And it could be like, you know, that lump that you and I both know it's going to be a lipoma, but to them, that's like the end of the world. So, you know, just being able to chat with them versus dismissing them, I think is also important. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree with that wholeheartedly. And I think it is something that we can very easily do, because I mean, in human medicine, people know what's urgent care versus what's ER. So I feel if we could educate the pet owners, I mean, that's definitely something that I think once urgent cares are a little bit more plentiful, I think that's definitely an easy thing. And it's funny you bring up the lipoma. So far at work, I've had three technicians bring their dogs to me crying from a new bump that ended up being a zit. It definitely happens even with us where that panic sets in. But I think with enough education, once urgent cares are a little bit more plentiful, especially for people like you or I, who have that social media reach and we can kind of put videos out and things like that, or even just mailing out flyers for the urgent cares that open up to say, hey, if you have these list of problems, come on in type of thing. So I definitely think that's going to be important for the future for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Why do you think the need for urgent care is just going to keep increasing?
I think it's going to keep increasing because we're kind of not shifting out of where we are at this point. People are still getting new dogs and cats. GPs are backlogged so far in advance. The ERs are 10, 12 hour waits. Half of them are on bypass. I think it's just that thing where demand's going to keep going up. Supply is going to keep kind of remaining the same or potentially going down because a lot of vets are coming out realizing that it's way different than what school was, especially with the digital age, where a lot of students, like, they were in clinics digitally. Zoom for them. So now they're like out in the real world and like, this isn't for me, and they're leaving the profession. So I think it's just that shift of things where we're just not meeting the demand that everybody has for us. And they're still going to get ear infections. They're still going to get skin rashes. They're still going to be limping. So there's definitely going to be a need for that. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, pet parenting and people owning pets is expected to, you know, almost double by 2030. So the ratio between, veterinarians and patients is going to be even higher, to your point, why we need more veterinarians out there. But I think having urgent care is going to be, I think its intention is obviously to help settle some of the stress that we can feel in clinics too. So that's awesome. Well, I want to ask you, what made you get into emergency medicine yourself?
I was kind of thrusted into it or propelled into it. I came out and did my internship with the intention to be a cardiologist. That didn't work out. I got turned down for a couple of years for specialty internships, residencies, fellowships, and things like that. Mm-hmm. And while I was applying for the specialty internships, I just stayed working emergency. And the clinic I'm at, I get a lot of cardiac emergencies. So it scratches that itch for me just enough to I'm happy there. I didn't think I would like emergency, but I'm kind of a severe ADHD person with a lot of energy. I'm kind of like a lab that's just barreling through people thinking I'm smaller than I am. And ER just kind of fits that. So it's got enough go, go, go to where like my mind can bounce from case to case. So after I didn't get accepted for things, I was actually really comfortable working ER.
Right. Well, good for you. I'm so glad that you're doing it. But it's always, I like to hear your perspective on it because I know we have a lot of students that listen in, so they can always share how that was.
It's not as scary as people make it out to be. Honestly, if my dumb self can work emergency, anybody can do it. Half of it's having a conversation with owners. Right. And from that point on, most of the stuff is not true emergencies. And the real emergencies, I mean, there's only so much you can do. So it's not as bad as people make it out to be.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think having those hours, sometimes if you're like interested in being a night owl, which unbeknownst to me, Frank, by the way, because I'm not a night owl, but I can't believe how many people in our profession are night owls.
Yep. Are you a night owl? Really? I've had insomnia since a kid. So like the second and third shift has been like right up my alley. I mean, not that I'm old by any stretch, but I'm starting to get to that point where I'm like, oh, I can't do nights anymore. Like it's getting hard to bounce schedules, but the nightlife is me. Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. Awesome. So cool. Well, where can we learn more about you?
You can learn more about me on my social media pages. I'm on Facebook, TikTok. I got YouTube and I'm on Instagram as well.
Yeah. And we're going to put it all in the show notes for our listeners as well. So if you're interested, you can check them out there as well. So awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show, Dr. Frank Bozelka.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Adam Kreisman.
Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate this podcast. It always helps us out significantly. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Kreisman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.